1 Corinthians 12, 1 says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed." Do you feel informed or uninformed regarding spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts, you got this? Are you good? I have taken, in my lifetime, just a guess, probably 15 different spiritual gift tests, some repeatedly. I do not want to be uninformed. I want to know how God made me to serve. Paul says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Good to know. Not all gifts are the same. There's not just one way of using them. God is dishing out different stuff to different people to do different things. That's probably important to know, to be informed. I mean, who wants to be spinning their wheels in life? I want to be productive in life. I want to matter. I want to help people. I want to do what God made me to do. And if he has given me a gift in some specific direction, I want to know that. I want to know what he's got in mind for me. Don't you? But what's he want me to do? What should I aim at? How can we know? Paul goes on to say in verse 8, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." And see, this is where it starts to worry me. Because I got none of those. Miraculous powers, healing, speaking, and interpreting other languages. You know I have a hard time with English most of the time. If what Paul lists here are our only options for spiritual gifts, I am not feeling too confident after I read this passage. Years ago, I heard about a news photographer who was sent to take pictures of a forest fire nearby. And the photographer was told that time was of the essence. He should hurry to the airport. They would have a plane waiting for him. "Go get some good pictures of the fire," they said. So he rushed to the airport. He hopped into the plane that was waiting there on the runway. He said, "Go, go, go." And the pilot took off. They flew for a while, and the photographer saw the fire. He tapped the pilot on the shoulder. He said, "Go down there, get closer." And the pilot looked back at him and said, "Why would you want me to do that?" And the guy said, "Well, because I'm a photographer and photographers take photos, so fly down there and I'll get some good ones." And the pilot's face turned white and he said, "Then you're not my flight instructor?" If miraculous gifts are the only kind God's Spirit hands out, I admit you're probably going to want to find a different pilot. But Paul finishes up by saying this, in verse 12, "Just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So that gives me hope. Maybe there are other spiritual gifts than just the ones that he had listed here for the church in Corinth, right? Like when what he says when he writes to the people following Jesus in Rome, where he says, we have different gifts. Paul says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, showing mercy. I mean, if they're done well at just the right time, those things can feel miraculous. But for the most part, that's just living life like Jesus did. And Paul's telling the Christians in Rome, if you're doing that in a way that matters, it's because God's giving you the ability to do that in a way that matters. It's a gift. Use it. Do it. If you see a need, and you try to do something about it, and if what you try helps, dive in deeper. Paul says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We don't want to be uninformed. Spiritual gifts are God's way of working in us to help other people. We belong to all those around us. And there's no one complete list of spiritual gifts found in the Bible. Like Peter, when he was writing to some Christians about spiritual gifts, Peter said, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do it as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Do you remember Bezalel? Bezalel is a guy in the Old Testament. God said he filled Bezalel with his spirit. And in Exodus 31, it says he filled him with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Bezalel, the original fixer-upper. Chip and Joanna got nothing on him. He was gifted by God's Spirit. God gifted him so that masonry and woodworking and goldsmithing are on the list. In fact, the Bible says, and I will admit it, the Bible says God's Spirit gifts all kinds of crafts, further emboldening all the Hobby Lobby fans amongst us. All kinds of crafts. But apparently, there is no biblical list of spiritual gifts that is comprehensive. There are more out there than what's said. For example, we invite a bunch of kids, high school kids, to show up in the middle of nowhere for a week. And we put them to work on service projects. And what do you know? They get hungry. So Sandy Smith volunteers to spend all day, every day for a week in what kind of is a kitchen. It's put together with ovens from the 1950s and refrigerators that may or may not stay at temperature. And she's given help that is constantly changing and sometimes has no culinary giftedness in any way. And she somehow provides for those kids during the whole week breakfasts, lunch, suppers that are delicious, plus snacks. Snacks. And let me just add, if you have had one of Sandy's no-bake cookies, you know that God is good. I've heard it said that if you believe in God 12.5% of the time, you're an atheist. You're an atheist. Okay, you work on it. But I think that I had 18 no-bake cookies at camp. Sorry about that. And I am a believer many times over. Point being, spiritual gifts come in all forms and all fashions. God is a creative guy, and he passes out gifts with great variety. But when does he do that? When do we get our spiritual gifts? Some people say it's when we're born. Some people say it's when we're reborn. Does God give his gifts when the Holy Spirit indwells us? Or does he plant them at birth and they lie dormant until the Spirit invigorates them? Are they natural abilities? Are they innate? Or are they miraculously added talents along the way? How do we see spiritual gifts in our lives? Do they bloom at some point? Can you work on them? Can they improve? Are they something that everyone gets, or do only believers get spiritual gifts? Why does it look like some non-Christians are better than Christians at some of these things that are called spiritual gifts? Can you get new ones? Are God's gifts irrevocably given, or are they on loan? Are they recallable? Do you remember Jesus' story about the master who left his three servants in charge while he went on vacation? Scripture says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey." And yes, I am very aware that I just read from the King James, and that talent is actually a monetary sum, and it means 20 years worth of your salary. So it's valued probably at like $1 million today. And the guy with 5 talents doubled his money. The guy with 2 talents doubled his money. The guy who with 1 talent just gave it back. And when he gave it back, the master said, "Dang, you didn't even bother to get me interest in a bank." And he took that one guy's million and he gave it to the guy who had 10 million. And I know it's all about money talk. I understand that. That whole parable is about what those guys did with money. But a total coincidence that the King James calls what was given there a talent? Yeah, maybe not. If we don't use them, Or if we don't use them rightly, does God take them back? Spiritual gifts. Some people live and move and have their being in spiritual gifts. All they can talk about is being gifted by God. They're spiritual gifts. They don't talk about anything else in all of Christendom. If you don't love spiritual gifts like they love spiritual gifts, exactly like they love spiritual gifts, they say you're probably not a Christian. Did you hear about Patty McMillan, who worked at a beer factory, and one day he drowned in a huge vat of Guinness Stout? And when informed that her husband had drowned in a vat of beer, Mrs. McMillan said, that's terrible. But tell me, did he go quickly? And the foreman of the beer factory said, well, no, it actually took a couple hours as he had to climb out three times to go to the bathroom. This church laughs at beer jokes better than any church. Some people love the topic of spiritual gifts so much that it consumes them, and they don't really mind, which has caused a whole bunch of Christians to shy away from spiritual gifts altogether. They say too many strong opinions, too esoteric, too ephemeral, too ethereal, too weird. Just some people say, just leave it alone. Just do life the best you can. Regarding spiritual gifts, these Christians are mostly don't ask, don't tell. But personally, I want to experience everything that God has for us, whatever he's got. I think everything in Scripture is in there for a reason. And if we can figure it out and apply it to our lives, then our lives will work better. And that includes spiritual gifts that God gives, however that goes. So I have done network tests repeatedly. I've done training for service sessions. I've gone through PLACE. I've worked through the Living Edge, Your Divine Design, How to Discover Your Spiritual Gift book several times. I've taken multiple internet spiritual gift inventories. I have listened to many sermons on this subject. I used to preach a sermon called Open Your Spiritual Gift every Sunday after Christmas. As the last sermon of every year, I would preach Open Your Spiritual Gift sermon because, you know, everybody at that time is in a kind of opening up presents kind of mood at Christmas. And I got to, when I preach this sermon, I get to tell one of my favorite jokes about the wise man's gifts, the wise men who gave the gifts, and how Mary's girlfriends later asked the mother of Jesus what those men had given her. And she said, oh, you know, just the typical gifts that you would give to a Messiah, gold, frankincense, need I say myrrh? And in my Open Your Gift sermon each year that I preached every year, I would give detailed instructions on a process for discovering and implementing your God-given gifts, how your life can be so much better if you'll just do this, all this stuff to discover and implement your spiritual gifts. Eric made Sandy and Emily Winger and me play a new game at camp when we were down there one afternoon. It's called Doomlings. And some of you have played it. Most people have not. Eric assured us that we would love this game. It's a great game. Just sit down and play. So we sat down. And he dealt out the cards, one of which was your magic number card. And you always have to have that many cards in your hand all the time, except sometimes. And he would explain that as we go. And then he dealt out the regular cards. Those are trait cards, and they come in various flavors. You can have cherry or grape or vanilla or banana or green. And they have little monsters on them who can do certain things at certain times, and he said he'll explain all that to us as we go. And then there are symbols on those cards that indicate certain things for the final scoring. He said he'd explain that as we go. And then there are dominant traits, regular traits, and they're dominant traits, and no one can take your dominant traits away from you ever once you play them, but you can only play two of them. And some of them are important for playing, and some of them are important for scoring, and he would explain that as we go. And there are catastrophe cards, and you have to play the catastrophe card at the start of each round, and they change the game totally every time, every round, usually for the worse, sometimes for the better. We would see that as we go. And then we played this game for 45 minutes, mostly with Sandy or me putting down a card and then saying, is that a good one? And Eric would read our card, and then he'd look around at all the cards out in front of everybody on the table, and then he'd say, oh, yeah, that's a good one. Or he'd say, no, that's not really a good one to play right now. And so we take it back. And once I put down a card, he said, oh, man, John, That is a great card. That is one of the best cards. And I said, oh, yeah. But it was his turn after me. And before he finished complimenting my card, he pulled out one out of his hand and put it on top of my card. He said, but I can't let you play that one. It's going to ruin my plans. So I'm crushing you with this card. But you'll see that as we go. Then he said, okay, Emily, take your turn. And I thought, Lots of times it took him a long time to figure out if our card was well played. And as he was figuring out, one time we said, Eric, have you ever played this game before? Why are you taking so long? And he said, I've played this game like 30 times. I'm just getting the hang of it now. So we slogged along until we finally got to the end of the game. Eric had to count up all the points for each of the teams because we didn't know how to do that, of course. And while modesty prevents me from disclosing who actually won that game, I will say, I do like trophies, even in games I've never played before and will never play again. But my point is, the game is too complicated, like most explanations of spiritual gifts. But this week, my mom told me that she had an epiphany. And I said, wait, Mom, aren't you too old for that? And she said, absolutely not. She said, I was reading my Core 52 for next week, and this take on spiritual gifts is brilliantly simple. And I couldn't wait to read what Mom thought qualified as epiphany-esque, so I read it. And I must say, Mr. Moore puts this whole matter in such a good light as to be epiphany-ful. Here's what he says about spiritual gifts. And whether you've studied this topic for years, or whether this is the first day you've ever heard of spiritual gifts, here's a good way to look at spiritual gifts from God. Any ability you have, given to you at birth, developed by you as you grew up, suddenly appearing in life after your decision to follow Jesus, any ability you have, any skill, any talent you have that you are willing to use as the God's Spirit leads you, anything that you're able to do that you're willing to put to use for others, that's a spiritual gift. So to summarize, spiritual gifts need to be used spiritually, and they need to be given away. He said, it's not really hard to figure out what your spiritual gift is. And I thought, you got to be kidding me. I've been trying for years. He said, he had three pretty simple steps. He said, one, walk into a room. Two, look around. Three, identify something that needs done to benefit others that you would enjoy doing with excellence. That's your spiritual gift. But only when you do it to advance the kingdom, only when you do it as God's Spirit leads you. It needs to be Spirit-led, Spirit-guided with God. It needs to be spiritual. It's a spiritual gift. It's not just a gift, not just a talent. It's not just a skill that you have to help others. It's something that you do with an expressed desire to please your Creator. It's a spiritual gift. Many gifts are given by God that don't turn into spiritual gifts. When our daughter was ready to be born, the doctor that we had worked with through Linda's whole pregnancy was not available. She was not available on the day Kreese decided to come out into the open. Fine, we were told that might happen. They have a group of doctors at Highland. If Our Lady couldn't be there, one of the other doctors would be able to deliver our baby that day. And that was all going okay until, in the middle of the delivery, everyone in the room suddenly panicked. And they whisked Linda out of the happy room that we were in, and they threw scrubs at me and said, put these on and follow us. But by the time I put them on, I didn't know where they were. So I wandered around the hospital till I finally found them all in a freezing cold operating room where they were working really hard, especially this one doctor. He was in charge. He was intense, and he did not seem happy. I stood on the side, and I just prayed that God would help all of that work out right, especially please God help that doctor. And then Linda screamed, and then that doctor pulled a baby out, and they checked everything over, and the doctor smiled at me and left the room. And Linda and I thanked God together for a doctor who we didn't know who saved our daughter's life. We found out later his name was Morris Wortman, the most well-known abortionist in Western New York, who was clearly gifted by God to work with babies, to help save babies. I know that he was gifted by God to do that because Carice is sitting here today. He was gifted. He had the intellect. He had the eye-hand coordination. He had the coolness under pressure. He was made to save life. But I'm pretty sure that was not his spiritual gift because he used the same skills to end so many lives. I think God plants skills and talents and abilities and gifts in us in our mother's womb so that we can work with him for later in life, working with him. But not everybody uses them spiritually. God gives lots of gifts in our world that get misused. Drugs God gave us to help deal with pain when things break, but drugs can enslave. Wine God gave to promote health, but it can destroy health. Sex God intended for delight, but it can bring hurt. Words that can build up can wreck relationships. Fire that can bring warmth can burn things down. Social media can connect or cause division. Medical skills can save babies or end their lives. Lots of stuff that God gives us does not get used like God intended. Lots that was intended for good can be used for bad. When someone says they're spiritual, I always want to ask, well, demons are spiritual too. Could you be more specific about the direction of your spiritualness? It's only when we use our skills in following God's Spirit that they are spiritual gifts. They're only gifts when we use them for the good of those we're serving. Spiritual because we're following God. Gifts because we give them to other people. See, your spiritual gift isn't for you. It's for all the people in your life that you can bless with what God gave you. Do you know the Hammerstein line? A bell's not a bell till you ring it. A song's not a song till you sing it. Love in your heart wasn't put there to stay. Love in your heart isn't love until love isn't love till you give it away. Spiritual gifts are the same. They're not a spiritual gift if you don't share it with somebody. Spiritual gifts are God-given gifts to be given away to others. We've got things so backwards, we think the gift part of a spiritual gift is that God gives it to us. We say, oh, how nice. God gave me this spiritual gift. It's his gift to me. Oh, it's for me. But that's totally backwards. It's called a gift because we're meant to gift it to other people. A spiritual gift is not a bucket where you collect God's niceness for you. A spiritual gift is a pipeline where God pours stuff through you onto people all around you in your life. Your spiritual gift only works like God intended when those around you are benefiting from it. It's only a spiritual gift when we use it for God and when we've given it away. Spiritual gift. So you're musical. Great. How have you used that to bless others recently? So you're wealthy. Great. Tell me about the last person you helped with your resources. Compassionate? That's nice. Who feels heard today? Who feels seen because of you? Are you good at communicating? What's the last thing you taught somebody to do? Are you athletic? How did you use your strengths to help another player get better this week? Are you influential? What group are you helping accomplish their mission in life? Do you fix things? Do you grow things? Can you sew things? Are you good at cooking things? Are you good at telling jokes? I need some help. I'm looking for somebody who's got that. It all has to be spirit-oriented. It's not internal. You have to be sending it out. Do you like serving? Do you see something that needs done? Do you enjoy making that happen? Even if nobody thanks you for it, do you just say, yeah, that needed done. I got it done. Like today, when we're done here. After we're done in this assembly, tables need to be set up in this room so we can eat ice cream. Ice cream needs to be dished so people can have ice cream to eat at the tables we just set up. Garbage bags need to be changed as people throw away the dishes that they use. Is there something in you and doing church life together opportunities kind of draw you in and you go, yeah, I just like doing that. Toddlers need taught. Toilets need cleaned. Telephones need answered. Weeds need pulled. Lawns need mowed. Preachers' cars need towed. Just kidding. Not really, kid, just kidding. Serving is one of the best spiritual gifts. Serving is one of Jesus' spiritual gifts. He said it demonstrates your greatness to follow the Spirit's lead and to do exactly what someone else needs. Priceless. A preacher told a story one night at a Bible study. Preacher was teaching about how we should listen to God's voice. That was his lesson for the night. How we should listen to God's voice. And there was a guy in the group who listened to that being taught, and he wondered to himself if God still spoke to people. And he went out for coffee after the group was over with other people from the group, and they talked about that. Does God still speak? And the guy went home. It was about 10:30 as he drove home, and he prayed, God, if you still speak, speak to me. I will listen and do whatever you say as best I can. And as he drove home, he said the strangest idea popped into his head. The idea was to stop and buy a gallon of milk. Knowing that he did not need milk, he said, God, is that you? But he got no reply, so he kept driving. But the thought returned, buy a gallon of milk. And he was passing by a store, and he said, okay, God, in case it's you, I will. No big deal, If it's not you, I can always drink it. That's fine. Went in, bought some milk, headed home. As he passed 7th Street, he had an urge to turn, even though that's not the way he went home. But he didn't. But he really felt tugged to do that, so at the next intersection, he turned around and headed back. And as he turned down 7th Street, he said out loud, "Okay, God, here we go." And he drove for a while until he felt like he should stop. He thought this was all weird. He stopped. He's sitting there on the side of the road looking around. He had a sense he should go give the milk that he just bought to the people in the house across the street. But that was crazy. It's late at night. The house is dark. What's he going to do, walk up and give them milk? But he felt he should do that. And as he got out of the car, and as he started to walk across the street, he stopped in the middle of the road, and he said, "Lord, this is insane. These people are already in bed. If I wake them up, they're going to be mad, and I'll look like an idiot holding a jug of milk." But it really seemed he should go, so he said, "Okay, God, I'll go offer them milk. If you want me to look like a crazy person tonight, okay, I'll be obedient. I guess that counts for something." But he said, "God, if nobody answers right away, I'm out of here." He walked up and rang the doorbell. Male voice from inside said, "Who is it? What do you want?" And the door swung open. And a big guy stood there in jeans and a t-shirt, and he did not look happy. And he said, "What?" So the Christian held out the gallon of milk and said, "Here, I brought this for you." And the man grabbed the milk and ran down the hallway screaming in Spanish. Pretty soon a lady came to the door holding milk, and the guy followed her holding an infant. And the baby was crying, and so was the man. And the man said, "We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money. We didn't have milk for the baby. I was just asking God to show me how to get some milk." The lady said, "I asked God to send an angel with some milk. Are you an angel?" The Christian man reached into his wallet and pulled out all the money he had on him and put it in the man's hand and turned around and went back and got in his car, knowing that God still speaks. I tell that story for two reasons. Number one, it's a good story. Makes me feel happy when I tell it. Number two, I could not find any story in the world which better illustrates almost exactly what I'm not talking about with spiritual gifts. It is exactly not like that. I mean, there are stories like that in the Bible. Occasionally, God almost forces something, clearly divine intervention in the flow of normal history. Sometimes God makes stuff happen. But uses of spiritual gifts don't have to be moments of unequivocal miraculousness. In fact, they are mostly not. Mostly, when we're just led by the Spirit, we know what matters to God, we see a way in the world that the world could be more like He wants it to be, and we make it so because we can. We see someone in need. We see something that needs done. We know we can help, and we help. Nothing big, no fireworks, nothing special, not a jug of milk and a weird thing in the middle of the night, just a need, and we meet it because we know that that's what God wants, and we realize that we have what's needed. Frederick Buechner says, by and large, a good rule for finding this out is the kind of work God usually calls you to is the kind of work, A, that you need most to do, and B, that the world most needs to have done. He says the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. And I think Buechner's onto something. God provides each of us with opportunities to make the world better in a way that we can make the world better. I don't have many milk gallon stories in my life, but I do know that Jesus is daily giving me chances to use the gifts that He's loaned to me, and I'm glad He does. I cannot imagine life any other way. And if that sounds kooky to you, I can only tell you it's not. And I hope one day you'll be able to say same. So the epiphany that Mom had was that spiritual gifts are not some Twilight Zone space oddity, but that led by God's Spirit, they are things that we have that we can give away. and we all have something to contribute. There are things God made you to do, and you can do them well. And if you will offer them to him, if you will use them with him, if you'll give them away, bettering other people's lives by gifting them with your talents and your skills and your abilities, you will be using your spiritual gifts. They are things that are led by God's Spirit that we have that we can give away. We're all different. We all see situations differently. We all bring different points of view to the table, so we won't all respond in the same way to every situation. But together, when a church is made up of people who are employing their spiritual gifts, a lot of good gets done for a lot of people. And those who are watching us see something interesting, something different than how most people relate, something attractive, something that they might want in on. They see evidence of God in us as we use our spiritual gifts and help each other. Last one. Did you hear about the forest ranger who was warning hikers how to avoid grizzly bears? He said, to avoid grizzly bears, always wear bells on your clothing, because when the bears hear the bells, they will not be startled. They'll know you're coming and they won't charge at you. And he said, always carry pepper spray with you in case the noise of the bells isn't enough. And then he said, avoid taking trails if you see any grizzly droppings. And one hiker said, well, how will we know if the droppings are from grizzly bears or from black bears? And the ranger said, well, black bear droppings are usually smaller. They have berries and fur in it. Grizzly droppings tend to have bells in it and smell like pepper. The evidence of Jesus's greatness is seen today in the world in his people using their spiritual gifts rightly, spiritually, as gifts, spiritual gifts. Here's hoping you'll put yours into play. Let's pray.